Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSS Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning and welcome to Suluau, where my guest and I speak up so you can listen up and act upon what you've heard. Now, you've heard every month we've had this event called Pop Up. Poetry pop-up, where poets come in, and unlike some places where you have to wait to the end to get to do your poem, in round fashion, each poet does a poem, and we get something nice, no mean words. At the end, each person gets what we call riff, reflective, interesting, inspiring, friendly feedback from one or two people, and then we go on round robin style. So there will probably be more people joining us. About 11 said yes, and we'll see them when we do. Our first person to sign in this morning is Cynthia, and then she's been keeping the list of who comes next. And I'll just say Cynthia is a powerhouse writer here in Vancouver. She's been many things. I'll let her tell you some of the things that she does. She's also invited other people. She has a lot of experience with festivals. Festivals is one of the things that our poetry pop-up group is going to have. We're building toward having some public events both in Los Angeles and in our Vancouver. So good morning, Cynthia. Intro yourself and then bring on our riff.
Good morning, Charlotte. I'm so grateful to be here and part of your amazing show. So I'm the author of Ordinary Light, Rainforest and Russet, and The Light Bearers in the Sand Dollar Graviton, which is a prose poetry kind of book. So I thought I'd read a little bit from The Light Bearers in the Sand Dollar Graviton for this Thanksgiving broadcast today. So this is from a chapter called Reflections. Well, in the light of a new and glorious day, what most surprised Marcy was the amount of color in the spiraling galaxies. Lemon and turquoise, like her holiday tree. Lime, royal blue, orange and red. So much swirling color, like memories of flowers and green in spring light. She was reminded of the Zen saying, a grain of sand contains all land and sea. For the strings of stars could just as easily have been atoms through a scanning tunneling microscope in her grandfather's lab. 13.7 billion years of this glorious universe unfolded before her eyes in exquisite patterns of creation. What heavenly good fortune to be among it all. The peace she felt in the celestial beauty was a wonderful reminder to embrace the present. As Marcy and her robot Chip made their way through the galaxies to Nosen to rescue the strange being who had called for help, she wondered if she would find new planets that she could love as much as Earth. She thought about her favorite places, like Lorcano Beach in late summer, when on weekends, so many spirits and realities coexisted peacefully. Fishers on the dock would put crabs into coolers, while children with fishing poles frequented lemonade stands, and meditating adults counted prayer beads in quiet harmony, with photographers capturing the scenery. Tourists and locals enjoyed picnics, barbecues, badminton, and the scenery. There were the colors, the shades of light green seaweed washed ashore in pearl-capped waves, where she meditated too in fast-paced walks and cartwheels along the soft sandy shore. So that's a little excerpt from my prose poetry collection, The Light Bearers in the Sand Dollar Graviton. And that's what I'm grateful for, walks at these beautiful beaches we have in Vancouver. Back to Charlotte.
You get a riff from one of the...
I get some feedback, eh?
Feedback.
I always love when someone talks about the gallery. You've also given it an age of 13.7 billion years. I'm one who frequents Griffith Park, and I hear various numbers about that, but you hit it right, one of the numbers they've said. I also like the feeling of going to the park or traveling through space. You brought all that out in me. So thank you.
Cynthia, I love your gentle approach to everything. You come from a place of compassion, and I think that's what's sorely needed now is compassion for who we are and where we are.
Yes.
So, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, both of you, for totally getting what I was going for and for feeling it with me. Thank you so much.
And
You're welcome.
Cynthia, as you mentioned so many things about the land, would you mind giving a short land acknowledgement?
Oh, I'm coming from the Coast Salish land. I'm coming from Vancouver, Canada, on the traditional territories of the Coast Salish people. I'm grateful to be here on their territories.
Thank you.
Grateful for their permission for us to be here.
And CJSF is thankful and grateful to be able to broadcast this on the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations. We commit to the 92 Acts of Restoration in any ways that the nation can help we do. One of them being offering people who are starting off, people who are indigenous, people who just want to learn. Like we've had some people within this group who've been interns or in training, but things that we can do to not just say we are helping people get into a setting where they can control or contribute to the environment and making it possible here at CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby.
Speaking of what you're kind of, I'm hearing what you say. I don't think there's a race or a group that hasn't contributed to this place we call Earth. I look up to no one, look down at anyone. I think we're all just different, but the same in a lot of ways. And there's no reason, at least in my mind, that we shouldn't just love everyone on the planet. And that's why I love Jesus so much. It's like it gotta make sense, you know. But I see different contributions from every group on the planet, and that makes us what we are. And so I mean, really, if we're all the same, we'd be pretty boring. This planet would be pretty boring. So the different colors and races and cultures, and actually poetry, that's one thing I said at the thing I went through when I was emceeing. I'm saying, poetry, I mean, we're telling about our culture in our way. We're really putting it out there. And each group should do some poetry or like write books. You know, we can't let other groups write our own books. It becomes their book, not our book, you know, or our
Okay.
culture. It becomes this thing called his story, not my story. So, thank you again.
Thank you for your comment, Gerald. But one of the things in Canada, there is an acknowledgement. Every meeting starts with an acknowledgement that we are on the unceded territories of specific nations. So, whatever part of Canada people are from, they just acknowledge that those were unceded, stolen lands. So, that's just a reason. It's something that we do at every broadcast is acknowledge that we are at our gratitude for being on the lands of the first people here. Okay, Cynthia is going to continue on with introducing our pop-up to people.
So, the next person who came into the room was Neil. So I'm going to welcome Neil Ryan to share a poem.
And I'm on Vancouver Island. I live in Nanaimo, British Columbia, one of the jewels of this earth that we share. And I've been exploring ideas that there are groups of energy, and when you engage poetry, you're engaging energy of poets and so forth. But I'm exploring the idea that the universe is that all those various energies can communicate. So I have written a poem that is, and I'm just calling it up here, it's called Dialogue. It's a tale of time and entropy. When the universe was created, it was a tableau rasa, a blank slate. Everything that was about to happen into eternity was hidden from the potential of consciousness. All the now moments, all the way to infinity, existed all at the same time, resting in unrealized potential. Chaos ruled throughout, and that potential and consciousness could not have the experiences it sought. The problem was, there was no way consciousness could know one experience from the other. Everything was a part of the primordial soup of events. What consciousness wanted was to have a way to have all possible experiences in sequential order, so it could learn from the experiences contained in the potential. So consciousness went to the Atman, which was the creator of all that was or not, springs forth, and asked, how can I become aware of myself? Yes, I have created a tableau rasa with intention to become awareness itself. I choose to become totally self-aware through creating all possible experiences. The Atman answered, perhaps what you need can be found in the energy of the twins, the future and past. They are the parents of the inseparable twins, time and entropy. Yes, 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 answered consciousness. What I need is time. But beware, offered the Atman. The offspring of future and time are inseparable twins, time and entropy. They will give you the centuries after century of time to create, but eventually his twin, entropy, will tear down to dust whatever it is that you create. You may be allowed to keep a few trinkets for a while, but eventually time will give everything you create over to his twin brother, entropy, and entropy will take everything from you and the disorder that you seek. Who is their master, I would ask, to seek one half of the inseparable twins? I only want time. To whom can I plead my case? The Atman laughed. The master of the twins, time and entropy that you seek, is chaos, the same chaos you wish to be rid of, who always seeks to have control over all experiences. Time will tell. Thank you.
Mm. Wow.
That was really highly philosophical, right? The dialogue between consciousness and the Atma, and
yes,
the inseparable twins, time and entropy. But I like the flow of your thoughts, and it kind of makes sense to imagine creation in the way you put it, from a clean slate to a, you know, sense of chaos, and then finally coming into this, the energy of the twins. So thank you, Neil. That was wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Ramona. Thank you very much.
I took the time, and some of these words are not always, you know, I'm not hitting me. And so I took the time to look up the word entropy and then give me a minute to read it to you. It says, Entropy is a scientific concept that measures the disorder or randomness of a system and the amount of energy in a system that is unavailable for useful work. I said, oh my goodness, that got me more confused. So I was enjoying it, you were going through it. And I didn't hear the twins. I heard them as the twin being future and past. I don't know if I got that right, but I thought
future and past have produced two twins. Has produced twins, and okay. They are time and entropy. And what consciousness wants is that it wants time to sort out all the experiences so that it knows itself. That's the universal desire to be able to see itself. Who am I? Can I see myself? And what Atman is saying is, be careful what you wish for, because everything that you're going to create, as far as experiences are concerned, will eventually be taken away from you, because entropy, which I'm very cognizant of, entropy is going from order to disorder. That's what I was trying to convey in my poem that says, you have to remember that everything that you create, everything that you love, everything that you do, become part of the black hole in the universe that where everything eventually disappears. And so I'm kind of looking at the fact that we experience time, and time has a twin that takes it all away. And my next poem, if I get to read another one, is the poem is called The Day That I Die. And that's when everything gets taken away that we know from the consciousness point of view. We don't know what's beyond the veil.
Okay, thank you for those comments and insight. It's a good discussion, but we're going to go on to the next poet. Thank you.
So our next poet is Ramona, and we'd love for her to introduce herself, tell us where to find her books.
Okay, so I'm Ramona. And I am a retired professor, Mumbai University. I have a PhD in history, and I've also specialized in French. So I have written several academic texts and workbooks, both in history and French, mostly for undergraduates. I definitely am not a poet, but I very courageously once again try to be part of Charlotte's Poetry Pop-Up, because I'm always so inspired by all of you. And I've just written a very simple acrostic poem on the theme of Charlotte's Pop-Up today, Thanksgiving. Okay, so here it is. Treasures of moments, both big and small, hearts open wide, we embrace them all. Abundant blessings in every day's light, nurturing kindness makes spirits bright. Knowing that gratitude shapes how we see, sharing our joys in community. Love woven deeply in all that we do, inviting each other to cherish the view. Voices of laughter echoing near, inspiring hope, dispelling all fear. Never forgetting the power of grace, giving thanks daily, a warm, sweet embrace. I hope you enjoyed that. Thank you.
Can I jump in and say, I love the power of gratitude that you exemplify, and abundant blessings in everyday light. Just so well read, so well written, and so true. Thank you so much for your gift.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'd like to acknowledge that Dr. Ramona, this is the second poem she's written. she has joined since January when we started the poetry pop-up. She said she'd never written a poem, and the one that she wrote last month was amazing. And then this one, it has so much reflection in it. So thank you for being brave, and thank you for showing, yes, you are a poet. You just didn't know it.
Thank you. Thank you, Charlotte. You're always so encouraging.
I told you last time, Charlotte, Ramona, I told you last time you are a poet. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil.
Okay. I'm always amazed when people get things to rhyme. I said, how do you do that? And have it still make sense. Have it still make sense. I said, wow, how do you do stuff like that? I can't get there. But so you are a poet. And you make a lot of sense. And you do it in such a way as well that you got to think through these things. It arouses the imagination. What is what I'm talking about? I think I got it. I think so. And I like that. I've criticized myself for being too straightforward sometimes. So my degrees are in finance and all that kind of stuff. But to have someone who can flow, who just flow with stuff, I say that's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you, Gerald.
Okay, before we start another round, I'm going to share a poem. Okay, it's called Bring On the Peacemakers. May the peacemakers let themselves be known. Bring on the ones who stand on the line and call time. Time out on distress, discord, and duress. Bring on the ones who pray. May peace prevail on earth. And truly, that it begin with me, with thee, with them. Bring on the peacemakers, the children who sing glad tidings in the morning, those who bring joy and love as welcome as a dove. Bring on the peacemakers, those who value books over bullets, those who enable school bells over jail cells. Bring on the peacemakers, those who center God in their goals, those who activate faith in their functions, those who center their gifts on creating shifts. Bring on the peacemakers.
I feel the revolutionary thought in that as well. That is, peacemakers are peaceful, but they're not trying to fit in all the time. I feel that in that, and so I like it.
Thank you.
I love your rhythm, Charlotte, how much you convey so much social justice and power, but also in this beautiful rhythm. So well done.
Thank you.
Yes, I have mentioned to Charlotte that she's a preacher. And she has the preacher of the Southern Baptists, the fire and love all in the same place at the same time. It's wonderful.
That is one of the hats that I've worn, but not in the South, but in Southern California.
Yeah.
We still have a Gerald Collins to hear from.
Oh, okay.
If you'd like to introduce yourself.
I'm still sitting here thinking my house cleaner just hollered that he's going out to lunch. And I said, God, I wanted him to lock the door. I said, well, if someone comes in, just let him come in. My name is Gerald Collins. I've never considered myself a poet. As I said, my degrees and stuff are all in finance and CPA, all that kind of stuff in banking. And one day a voice said, why don't you write a book? Next thing I know, there were 7 books written. And I looked today and I found this poetry folder. I said, God, I've written a lot of poetry. I've never put it into a book. Anyway, I've chosen this poem called Buckle Up. And let me just get into it. Buckle up. Please take this journey with me. Be willing to see me cry. Watch me laugh. Wonder as I question authority. Don't ask me if I've lost my mind. That happened a long time ago. This is the way. Now is the time. Be free with me. Two or more are always the force. We're headed north now. Up we go. Some call this journey life. Some call it the journey to life. Those sleeping call it aging. I just call it a journey without end. The perils of living are many. So The joys of living are many. So clearly, there are faculties within that move us toward pleasures. Some of these pleasures can be rewarding. Some of these pleasures can lead us off a cliff. Let's not be overtaken by these. Oh, and of course, we are not seeking pain. There's enough suffering taking place on this planet. Obviously, we need one another. If anyone becomes more self-centered, they are just being driven by that ego. All of us have one. We have learned to just keep that knucklehead out of the driver's seat. Joy is really part of our being. It need not really be sought outside. It's okay to do that, though. It as well can be a route to pain. As a person who knows who and what he, she is, nothing is impossible. Together, we amplify our power. We as well know the power and beauty of grace. This means we let the universe guide and assist. Thank God for that universal guidance. Thank God that we don't have to be told. Guidance is somewhat automatic when we just ask. The real word is willingness. We can dance, we can sing, we can pray, we can love. We do sports. We must express something. Buckle up.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm buckled up. I feel like I've been on an adventure. You know, Gerald has mentioned a couple of times that he's into finance, but I, over the years, have heard him do poetry that's like prayers, poetry that is inspiring, poetry that that buckles you up for every experience in life, loss, ill treatment, all those things. But the other thing is he has reached out, I guess maybe over 10 years that I've known him, to encourage budding writers, people who've always said, oh, I want to write a book, or I want to write sometime, and said, okay, on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, I'm going to have a class and you can join and learn how to write. So he has he's buckled up for life's experiences. He shares by bringing so many other people into his fold. And I just want to congratulate you on all the types of poetry you write, but also all the ways that you help get people into living hope, fulfilling their dreams, and helping to make the planet a better place. Thank you, Gerald.
Thank you.
I was also amazed to hear that although you are in this financial field, you've written 8 books, you said, already. What are they about? What are the topics you've written on, apart from poetry?
Well, none of the poetry is in a book, but they're all over the place, primarily centered in spiritual development.
Okay.
I wrote one book about the first Black man to work on Air Force One as a crew member, okay. His life story. And then I just wrote one about baseball, but I put a character in there where he's a killer and he's seen a psychiatrist and a practitioner, that is. And it's interesting. I'll just leave it at that.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
But most of them are spiritual development.
All of you are such inspiring people. I just learned something from everyone. Neil writing poem every day, and Cynthia with a book, and Charlotte, oh my God, I can't stop. Just being so amazed by all that she does. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Gerald, I would like to comment, and that is that from the poem that you quoted, you've had a life of adventure, a life of experience, and that you've put it into your poetry. Thank you.
Thank you. It's definitely a journey. Who knows where it's going, but it's just stay on the road somehow. We're off road.
Well, we're everyone being able to do a second poem. So we'll start back with you, Cynthia.
Hey, thank you so much for this opportunity, Charlotte, for hosting us. So I'm going to read a little bit more from The Light Bearers in the Sand Dollar Graviton, because Marcy's attitude to life fits the theme of thanks living. She's all about praising where she is and enjoying it when she's her best self. And also, this is in the Vancouver Public Library if anyone's looking for it. So, here she is. The spaceship carrying Marcy was well into a pinwheel of blue and purple light before she overcame her stunned silence. She lifted the shades on the tinted window to reveal galaxy after magnificent galaxy, the circular orange-brown Andromeda with a mauve flush on its cylindrical tips, the sombrero yellow sun hat looking much as Saturn had when she had spilled out of our solar system, then an aquamarine whirlpool and a small spiral that looked like a pointy lily. She swallowed hard to drown her thoughts. How far am I from home? I'm going to skip ahead a bit to more description. So, she's been asked to rescue this guy when she just wants to get back home to her birthday party on Earth. Marcy thought of everyone she would miss and the people who would miss her if she took this mission, especially her grandparents. She thought of how they had raised her from infancy, from the moment their dog Brianna's ecstatic barking had led them to find her in a handmade cotton blanket under the moonlight of their bedroom windowsill. There was the everyday comfort of picking wild orange and yellow snapdragons on her walks with Brianna, and Grandma Anderson's elation each spring when Marcy presented her with flowers to admire as she drank tea with her friends. How Marcy enjoyed helping to count the milk bubbles in each cup, fully believing her grandma that each little circle was a symbol of blessings. She loved the moment each evening when her grandfather came through the front door in a burst of energy and threw her in the air like a toy, catching her securely and spinning her around in strong arms. She was never too old for that joyful greeting when Grandpa came home from work. Then there was the peace of winter holidays when the three of them would adorn the turquoise and lemon tree in gossamer butterflies studded in jewels and shiny glass balls with little elves inside, decorations that looked like an entrance to another dimension. Transfixed in the light reflecting off crystal ornaments, Marcy could imagine morphing into that elf world. She pictured an entire universe of homes in sugary gingerbread and striped candy, where elves skated on blueberry ponds and surfed across the meringue of giant lemon pies to create the wavy design, all in a world the size of a teacup. I'll stop there for a moment. You can find out the rest in the story. Yeah, so it's got a lot of prose poetry description in with her adventures in space rescuing this guy. So
Good for
thank you.
you. Good for you. Good for you.
Yes.
I think that there's so much of very delicious descriptions skating across the meringue in the blueberry pond or something like that. Oh God, it began to make me feel hungry. Thank you.
I noticed the lemon pie. My favorite.
Well, I've read about 40 science fiction books. Anytime someone talks about outer space, they got my attention. And somehow you take us out in space and you bring us home and talk and just have a just subtle way of sweetly talking about these things. I can't touch it in terms of how to describe what you're doing there, but it's quite pleasurable. Thank you.
Oh, I agree with you, Gerald. It made me feel like I was there in the scents in the air, not just to say that there's gingerbread, but the scent, orange and yellow. Oh, I just felt like in this short little space I've traveled with grandmother, I've traveled and I'm looking in the window, seeing how the elves, it was just so rich with description and feeling. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you so much for the feedback, everyone. Just totally makes my day.
And you seem to have a natural smile. I know, just natural. Yeah, I don't think you can stop smiling. You know, it's you know, whatever. It's some people can't do that. A face stuck in smile.
It's the energy of Charlotte's show. I'm just so grateful to be here, and all of you are so inspiring and such good energy.
Thank you for being part of the energy, the ignition, the lighting, the fuel. Okay, who is next, Cynthia?
So our next reader is Neil.
Hi. I'm becoming very aware of the fact that I'm going to be 85 in February. And I live in paradise. I totally do. And there's a park and two lakes within, from my exercise, it's 2K. So I was there the other day and it started raining. And I said to myself, you know, on the day that I die, I want it to be raining. A slow, gentle rain. One that natures and softens the receptive earth so that the energy of my love will penetrate deeply into the soil. On the day that I die, I want the softened Mother Earth to accept my love in appreciation for all the gifts that nurtured, clothed, and sheltered me in all the forms it bestowed upon me in this lifetime. On the day that I die, I want one of my books to be a bestseller, not for the fame and fortune it will bring, but for the love and compassion they share in this time of need for love and compassion. On the day that I die, I want my friends and loved ones to be deep in their own experience of adventure, ones that teach them to be grateful for this self-inflicting, wounding experience called life. On the day that I will die, I want the rope that ties me to this existence to sever easily and quickly, without drama and pain, far away from the sound and fury that echoes through this passion play. On the day that I die, I want to remember the log cabin at Orient Bay, where all the adventures of my life began. And I want a headstone carved with three words, no names, no dates, just the inscription, "The adventure continues." Thank you.
Lovely. I love that headstone, "The adventure continues." You've thought it out so well. Thank you for all the ideas.
Yes, Neil, I too like parks. And I'm a little bit distant from the ones I used to go to. But we certainly share that. And I think you saying you're 85, I said, wow, that's how you get to be 85? You stay in the park. You've taken very good care of yourself. And thank you for that poem.
Thank you for the imagery in that poem. You know, so many people, when they talk about the day they die, they're talking about lavish food and who they want to sing and stuff that sometimes is a burden for the people who are remaining, trying to get through this huge list people have written of their expectations on the day that they die. So I just thank you for giving a different viewpoint, another way that someone might say, read that poem and say, maybe that's something I could reflect on. So just thank you for yet again another experiential and emotionally lifting poem.
Yeah, I love the list poem and all the details that came out in it. And then I think our next poet is Ramona.
Oh, so everyone, I had this amazing experience for a week in November, from the 7th to the 15th. And I really want to share it with you because I'm so thankful for it. It is, indeed a dream come true. And I wrote it as an experience which I'm kind of going to share with my chanting group. But for you, I tried to make it into a poem. Please don't laugh. So here it is. I'm Ramona, embracing the philosophy of thanks living. Decades of gratitude shaping my path. This journey transforms experiences, opening doors to abundance. Reflecting on challenges, navigating personal and professional storms, striving to make a positive impact in communities across India and Canada. As a French teacher, my love for the language blossomed at the Alliance Française in 1969. Dreams of the Sorbonne drew me, but financial straits held me back. My father's retirement making the journey impossible. For 40 years, I shared the beauty of Paris with eager students, monuments, cathedrals, the rich tapestry of cuisine and art. When they asked about my travels to Paris, I also always answered with a twinge of regret, I've never been. Then, during a week in November, my daughter surprised me with a trip to Paris, a dream finally realized. I stood beneath the Eiffel Tower, admired the Sacre Coeur, walked through the Arc de Triomphe, explored the Louvre and Palais Garnier. I tasted crepes and croque-monsieur, delicacies I had long described. In every moment, I chanted gratitude, feeling the kindness of those around us, their warmth enveloping us. In this spirit of thanks living, I remember, quote, gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow, end quote. I commit to living in gratitude, embracing this philosophy for myself and for others. Thank you.
Wow.
It's amazing. I feel I've gotten this age. I've never heard that word before. At least I don't recall hearing the word thanks living. I think it's so sweet and so perfect. And the way you describe things, it's just well done. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gerald.
I love how you have wisdom in there too. Like you give us this beautiful energy, but all the wisdom behind gratitude and how powerful it is. Thank you for your words.
Yes, I echo that.
Thank you, Cynthia. Gerald.
Thank you, Ramona, for taking me back to Paris.
Take me next.
Makes me wish I could go again. I went as a student exchange from K-State University to Greece, Paris, and England, but that was 100 years ago. So happy to hear just the joy in your voice and the completion of having, even though you couldn't go to Paris at the time you were teaching, that you brought it to them through cathedral. So many descriptive words within your acknowledgement. So thank you for sharing that. And maybe, who knows, we'll have a pop-up, poetry pop-up in Paris, France, directed by you.
That's an amazing experience, really.
Yes. Yes, it was.
So our next reader is Gerald Collins, and then after Gerald, we'll have Charlotte, our host.
Thank you. This next one is written like a letter, actually a letter to God. And guess what? It's entitled Madly. So, dear God, I have many reasons to be pissed, but I'm madly in love. I'm madly in love with you. Yes, I do hold you responsible for these challenges I am facing. You must understand my confusion. Do you? Life sometimes has been a dread. It's been painful at times, but I'm still madly in love with you. I cried so profusely when my father passed. He suffered a lengthy bout with lung cancer. Then I had to go through the loss of my mother 17 years later. She too had an unpleasant bout with cancer. I remember my talk with you after both of these passings. Yet, my love for you goes unchanged. I am madly in love with you. What have you done? There have been those times when I have these strange visions. I've read about many mystics who said that you provide these types of dreams. They don't always occur in the middle of the night. They do occur, and they are so enjoyable. Is this how you keep me tethered to you? Oh, yes. I've experienced those feelings during the high praise times at church. I was once in the church choir, and those songs of praise to you are wonderful. I can't describe that. I just know I am madly in love with you. You have seen me at home quietly feeling your presence. You have noted that I need no one to raise my love temperature. Somehow you do this with me, and I just fully fall in. Is this how you do it? Is the feelings of love that are in fact you? Are you the feelings too? This makes no sense to me. Yet still, I am madly in love. I'm madly in love with you. Yeah.
I love how you read that, Gerald. I love the emotion in your voice and the repetition of I'm madly in love with you. The pacing, it's just so beautiful.
Thank you.
I love the sincerity. You know, you could, like, you take a picture, like an image of God while you're sitting there saying, I'm madly in love with you. And it just makes a deeper, broader sense of the word love. You know, there are a lot of commercial songs that talk about love, 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 but the way that you say it, you feel it directly from your heart and very personally to God. I pictured you there, the two of you.
Two of us? Okay.
Oh, and you. Yeah, I like that idea. Writing a letter to God and just, you know, loving God no matter what's happening. I share the same sentiment like you. So it's difficult for my children. They can't understand that. So I'm very happy that you wrote that. It sort of resonated with me. Thank you, Gerald.
You're welcome.
I love the opening that you're pissed. I can understand that one.
You know, it's good to witness that in expressing that, you know, we didn't see a poof, a poof of smoke, that God doesn't allow you to express his disappointment or anger, you know, she, he, the universe, allow you to do that. Some people hold in a lot of feelings of resentment because they're afraid that God is a boogeyman that's going to get them for expressing their displeasure. So thank you for being bold enough to share and to let us see what happens when you open your heart both with appreciation and for thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Okay, we have a couple of announcements. Our friend Neil Ryan has published another book. He has published his first book at 82, I believe, and he now has a new book, and something wonderful happened in that a publisher, first book he self-published, and now he has a publisher. Tell us what's happened, the exciting thing that's happened with your book.
Well, first off, I have a new version of my old book. My publisher went bankrupt, so I found another publisher that wanted to give me a new cover and do it and add a bunch of poems and so forth. So From the Other Side is available on Amazon. And it's got 60 poems and 3 short stories, and it's about life and love. And it comes from the other side, all my poetry. I also have, I don't have a cover to show you. I have a new book called The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery. And the Bighton Tarot Card Mystery is a novelette, and it also has a 12 short stories along with it, at a whole variety. Some of them are fictional. Some of them are, one of them is about a poem about spending from when I was 5 years old till I was 10 years old, living in a lumber camp in Northern Ontario where the weather gets down to 35, 40 below. So it's quite an interesting book, and it'll be out on December the 15th into Amazon. And it's called The Brighton, and it's written, the Brighton Tarot Card Mystery. And it's about a stolen deck of tarot cards and the self-styled detective that solves the problem. And it has a magical ending to it where I don't want to give away the farm. So I hope you people will remember The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery by Neil Ryan. And it will be on Amazon. It's been through the whole process. It just got to be published, is all. And it's poetry and short stories. I decided to do a book of short stories and try and keep them connected to my belief that we are all spiritual beings connected to the physical side of things. So, hey, I tell you, really interesting. There's more wisdom in there than I can count on. But it comes to me through whoever she is. She gives me the poem, and all I do is write it down. So,
thank you for sharing. I have an announcement, and you can't see it because my camera's off, but it's called From Pillows to Pillars. Learn to pat your problems into poems and celebrate life's little joys. And I wrote the book some time ago, and it says at the back, it's the right book, it's a remedy. Are you lonely? Ever been so angry you thought you would burst? Feel like breaking something or someone apart? Grappling with soul-racking grief? Feeling unloved or unwanted? Are you soaring with so much joy you can't sleep? Tested the uncharted waters of a new relationship? Are scarcely able to speak about hope rising in your heart? Then this book has six chapters. The first one deals with anger with God, anger, then grief, then heartache, then the resurgence of faith, hope, and love. And I've done more than 100 presentations, like in boys, maximum security boys prison, at churches in different places. And I thought I was happy with it. And then I showed the book to the director of ministry that Gerald and I are both familiar with. And that leader said, well, it's written from the victim's viewpoint. So I stopped marketing it. I stopped telling people about it. I switched over, only to realize that the victim's viewpoint is a place where a lot of people are. And it didn't stop at the victim's viewpoint. It went on to a higher level of appreciation. I've been doing some workshops here in Vancouver and without the book. And people said, well, where's the book? Where's the book? So now this book, From Pillows to Pillars, is available as an ebook by the publisher Arthur House. It's also available, I don't know whether Amazon has it still in print or Arthur House is going to make it, but the more exciting thing is it's available as an ebook. So this past couple of months where I've been doing some workshops and then people have to wait 20 days or whatever for it to come in the mail, you can immediately get the ebook. I'm also working, my engineer here that usually is working with us with the show, we're developing an audio book because some people have said the poems in each one of those areas, grief, anger, heartbreak, and then the resurgence of faith, hope, and love. The book has got some pages in it. So after each one of those chapters, people can write about their experience with those emotions. So look for it. It's available from pillows to pillars. And that's all I'll say about that.
I hope that your books become bestsellers. Neil and you can, Charlotte, right?
Thank you for that wish.
Amazing.
Yes, yeah. It's been made simpler to get it by getting the ebook form.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you have another book called Pillows to Pillars?
No, this is the book.
The same one?
Hmm?
And I have one. I have two of your books, as I recall.
I have this one, but this one because the Reverend said to me when really he said, but it's written at the victim's viewpoint. So I thought, oh, that's bad. So I stopped really promoting it and talking about it. Now I realize sometimes I was at a bookshop fair and I had my book Heartbound Just For You and From Pillows to Pillars. And I saw some younger people flipping through the From Pillows to Pillars. And then, you know, talking with them, working with working with different groups who find the transition that it's interesting reading about my transition, but having the pages and spaces to write about theirs. So I'm not seeing it as a smack smack when somebody says it's written from the victims. It was from the victim's viewpoint, as it shows you how you can put your problems into poems and celebrate life's new joys.
I remember, and then please help me with this. This was when we first met, and you said something about one of your books, which I was told years ago, never listen to stuff like that. That is, you were criticizing yourself. And I didn't say anything. I said, how is she doing this? So I got the book and I loved it. But I said, well, she doesn't know yet. Just write what you love and hear other people. Yeah, you listen, but that's all. You hear it. That's all. It does not have to affect you in any way. This is you. You're telling us about you. You're telling us what you feel and what you've experienced. And that's what I want to hear. So I don't know how I'm saying that, but I've said it.
You'll be hearing it soon because it's going to be an audiobook.
Okay.
Well, I want to thank each of you for coming today. It was wonderful. It was part of just thanks with American Thanksgiving coming up. I thought that I know you and other poets that were invited are people that celebrate Thanksgiving. So thank you for your time. Thank you for the wonderful insight you shared with each other. And I look forward to seeing you when we pop up again. I'm going to do something for Kwanzaa and something at the beginning of the year. So if you don't mind, sometimes the people that are on a program say, can I have the numbers of the other ones? When I usually send out the message, I make it a blind CC to each one of the people. But if you know, you all wouldn't mind if I sent an email to you as a group when we are doing something, then I will send it that way, or I'll continue to send it individually.
Okay, wouldn't mind. Yeah. No problem, Charlotte.
No problem.
Yeah.
Well, this has been Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon, where we had another of our poetry pop-up sessions. We thank you for the ways you've encouraged this, and we want to say, you know, the show comes on at 10, but when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Time for poems, poets and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace.
rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon.